Welcome to The Clever Cookster, your ultimate window into the kitchens of the world's best cooks. Our guest today is Leanne Brown, an avid cook and baker who holds a master's in food studies and food policy from New York University, and is also the author of the new cookbook, Good and Cheap, Eat Well on $4 a Day. Thank you so much for being here.
It's my pleasure. I'm so happy to be here.
Before we get started, a quick word from our podcast sponsor. Spice Islands takes a craft approach when it comes to spices, and you can taste the difference in every bottle. They still sun-dry many of their spices, and their chili peppers are hand-destemmed. Plus, they capture the volatile oil, which gives flavor to each spice, whether it be Saigon cinnamon, dillweed, bay leaves, garlic powder, cumin, or turmeric, and maintain a strict standard for each item to ensure consistency, quality, and flavor. Visit spiceislands.com/clever for more spice facts and delicious recipes, and pick up Spice Island spices in the premium spice section of your local retailers. So we've been talking about Good and Cheap for a long time, actually, back when it started out as a Kickstarter phenomenon and sort of as a crowdfunded project. So what was that like to see the food community really rally around this idea, and what was the origin of the idea?
It was really exciting. It started out actually as my thesis project for my master's, and then I released it online as a free PDF, and it ended up being way more popular than I thought it was going to be. That was really exciting. And then sort of doing it as a PDF made us realize that we needed to try to print it. But in order to, since the point of making the book, it's a cookbook basically for people who can't afford a book, making something in print requires money. We realized we had to raise some money. So we decided to do a Kickstarter for it. We asked for $10,000 and, you know, thought we'd do just a small print run, you know, in our little apartment. And we ended up with $144,000, which was so much more than we thought we were going to have. And it was really, really exciting, but also utterly terrifying because we didn't know where to put 40,000 books. But the whole thing was really amazing, and I think as to your question, like, what was it like to have people rally around it, it gave me a lot of hope because not only were people excited about the concept of the book, but they were really excited about the idea of giving cookbooks to people who need them, and they were really supportive of that, and that was, you know, just gives you confidence in humanity.
And just to clarify for our listeners, that number, $4 a day, where does that come from?
So that is basically the average amount that a person who's living on SNAP or food stamps kind of has to work with. And it's a little bit misleading, I always feel, to say $4 a day precisely, because it's really a budget range. It's sort of like around $30 a week, you know, maybe $120 a month kind of range. So you wouldn't actually literally ever be buying exactly $4 per day, but you'd probably go to the grocery store, buy about $30, maybe $60 worth of produce at a time, or not produce, but groceries at a time, and then go home and sort of stretch it across a bunch of different meals. And that's the type of cooking that I really encourage, and you can get a lot out of that.
One of the things that I really love about this cookbook is that even beyond its original intended audience, it helps people think about how you can eat on a budget and also eat really healthily and with a lot of variety. So what are some of your top tips and tricks for eating on a budget for anyone?
Well, so the biggest one, and it's a large concept, is really to buy things that you're going to use in multiple ways. Like, for example, this past weekend on my blog, I was encouraging everyone to make pulled pork for the 4th of July because it's this wonderful, shareable thing. And that is really just this very inexpensive cut of pork, a pork shoulder, this big, tough thing. You cook it low and slow, either in the oven, on a grill if you're really awesome, or in a crock pot, and it feeds, you know, a crowd. Or you can keep the large amount and use it to make, you know, tacos, have sandwiches, make it part of a delicious platter, have it with rice and beans, have it in soup, all these kinds of things. So that's a really, really flexible thing that you can use with the other ingredients, can be a complement to that. And that's really the type of cooking that I encourage. You know, when you're buying basic things that you know you have like 25 uses for, you're going to have a variety of meals rather than buying a few things that you only sort of can do one thing with.
And what are the splurges that you think are worth it? Where are the places where people should maybe use a little bit more of that budget, and where are the places where you can really skip and cut back?
Sure. Well, actually, I think the thing that a lot of people point out is that I suggest that you use real butter instead of margarine or these cheaper oils. I think a lot of budget cookbooks that are really looking at that sort of the pure bottom line would say, well, those things are cheaper, so that's what you should buy. But butter does so much more than simply keep things from sticking to the pan. You know, it adds those, like, delicious crunchy bits. You don't need to use as much of it. It browns in these special ways. It adds richness. And it has a lot more value than something like a cheaper oil will have. Because, again, it sort of fits that rule of, like, it has multiple uses. So that's something where I would really suggest people spend their money. And then beyond that, kind of trying to look for the basics that are higher quality. You know, really try to get the produce that is looking really good. The stuff that's in season tends to be less expensive, but it also tends to be better. You know, buying maybe a slightly higher quality can of tomatoes than the absolute cheapest one, those kinds of things.
And how about entertaining on a tight budget? I love the idea of doing this pulled pork shoulder because it's so economical, but also feels like such a celebratory dish. How do you make really affordable food feel like a celebration?
Well, I think that's a really good question. I think it has to do with mostly the spirit in which you're sharing more than anything else. Pulled pork is really, really delicious and it's economical. The truth is there are so many of our favorite meals are like that. Even, you know, hot dogs and hamburgers are sort of the classic 4th of July things and they're really, really cheap and yet they feel like a celebration. Things like I've been really into making a panzanella salad lately because tomatoes and cucumbers are in season. They're really inexpensive right now. And that's basically a super old school salad. You take old, old hard bread that you would otherwise be throwing out. You tear it up into pieces. You throw it into a bowl with some dressing and with the tomatoes and the cucumbers and all their juices mixed together. And then it becomes like this flavor sponge and it's so delicious. And even something like that can feel really celebratory because it is colorful and bright, you know, serve that alongside your pulled pork. I mean, another recipe that I have in the book that I think of as a very celebratory kind of goofy thing is deviled eggs, which sort of seem like this, oh, this fussy, like, kind of weekend, like, moms making them with their kids kind of a thing. But really all they are is boiled eggs with a little bit of stuff added to them. Like, they are really inexpensive. Eggs are one of the best sort of protein sources that I could suggest. And truly, like, if you want to make them the classic way, all you have to do is add a little mayonnaise, some onion, a little mustard. If you want to go and make your own special version, you can use random bits of leftovers that you have in your fridge. So they are really fun, and it's just about the way that they're presented sort of a little bit with a little bit more care than maybe throwing some boiled eggs on a plate.
Support for today's show comes from Spice Islands. Spice Islands takes a craft approach with their premium spices to capture the most flavor in each spice, a difference you can taste in every bottle. They sun-dry many of their spices and de-stem their chili peppers by hand to deliver the most authentic and intense flavors possible. They also take the extra steps to ensure richer flavors, like waiting for their dill weed to bloom before harvesting, or milling their garlic to a true powder so it doesn't add grittiness to your dishes. Better yet, Spice Islands maintains a strict standard for each item to ensure consistency, quality, and flavor. When you use premium spices, the flavors are richer, which makes a noticeable difference in your recipes. So whether you're looking for flavor adventure or simply better-tasting meals, fill your pantry with Spice Islands. Visit spiceislands.com/clever for more spice facts and delicious recipes, including one for spiced maple carrots, a quick and simple side to complement any meal. That's spiceislands.com/clever and pick up Spice Island spices in the premium spice section of your local retailers.
One of the things that I love about the book is that you really think about being creative with things like condiments, like making quick pickles and salsa. And there's this beautiful spread of hot dogs that are topped with all kinds of different vegetable combinations that you might not think of. So the idea of sort of taking these basics that you think of as being really affordable foods that are part of most people's diets, and then turning them into something that you can be really proud to serve, and you're getting some interesting vegetables, you're thinking about seasonal produce, you're getting a lot of color in there, and I think that's really successful. I want to talk a little bit about protein, because your approach to protein in the book is, I think, really useful and informative for people who are still feeling like meat needs to be the center of the plate in every meal.
Right. So I mean, the reality is, with the sort of $4 a day range, making meat the center of the plate just isn't going to be entirely possible, because meat is very expensive. And pork shoulder is a fabulous cut of meat. It's very inexpensive, but it's also very fatty. I wouldn't suggest that you eat an entire plate of pulled pork. You would probably feel really bad afterwards. So you want to make something like that. As I think the best approach to protein, and especially to meat, is really to think of it as something that is adding flavor to your meal, something that's a part of it, but that maybe isn't the central part of it. Vegetables and fruits, I think, should be really the center of it. They add an enormous amount of flavor, and everything else is kind of there to complement that. And in that way, you're stretching it, you're able to enjoy, you know, for example, we'll just keep using the pulled pork in a bunch of different ways, rather than just having it, you know, that one time and then kind of having to, you know, make up for it maybe by having less protein for the rest of the week. So it's a way to kind of have a little bit of that and satisfy, you know, your need for that flavor, that experience throughout the week.
How about tools and technique for people who are learning to cook more often? What kitchen gadgets do you really need? What are the ones that you should make the investment in, and which can you really skip?
So I think the essential ones are, you want to have a really sharp knife and a cutting board. And then if you're going to have one skillet, I think you should have a cast iron skillet, because they're fabulous. You can use them in so many different ways, and you can take them from the top of the stove into the actual stove. So you can, say, make my crustless quiche. You can assemble everything on the top of the stove, you know, caramelize the onions, and then just put it straight into the oven. It's so handy. It's a really great way to cook meat, and especially fish, actually, to take it where you're starting it on the top of browning the underside, maybe browning the skin, and then finishing it in the oven. It's really, really simple. And then one of my absolute favorite gadgets, which I use it almost every day, is a microplane, which is a type of grater that started out actually as a woodworking tool and has become really popular for a lot of home cooks, because it's a super, super sharp mini grater that is in... I'm doing a terrible job of describing this.
You're doing a great thing with your hands.
I'm doing
though.
Things with my hands. How do I describe it? It's like the shape of a knife, but long and flat, and then has all kinds of little holes in it. So it's a really, really sharp, really fine grater, and it never goes dull because it's a woodworking tool. Mm. So you can make this beautiful, if you're grating cheese or even vegetables, it makes this almost like snow-like fine powder from it. So say if you're making Parmesan, if you're grating up Parmesan for pasta, you really use way less because it's making such a fine powder, and then you... can kind of get it in with everything without overusing it. And I absolutely love it. I also use it for zesting lemons and limes and oranges. And anyway, it's the greatest. So I would say if you were going to get something beyond really the basics, it's only about $10. So
I actually just got a new microplane because I moved last week. So.
Yes! You'll start to use it all the time, I know.
And doing nutmeg, too, I feel
Yeah.
Because the grooves are so shallow that you can really get a very fine...
You can grate really, really hard things really easily. Yeah, without having to apply a lot of pressure, because it's so sharp.
Okay, so tools
of summer. Like I'm, microplane. Like, selling this
there
product,
we go.
But I'm not.
Thank you so much for being with us today.
Thank you. It was really fun.
Check out Leanne's book, Good and Cheap, Eat Well on $4 a Day. And tune in next time on The Clever Cookster for more tips and tricks from the kitchens of the world's best cooks.